Okay, we're going to start the open mic with a lady whose name I can't pronounce correctly. So it's Katie. Maybe you can tell them everyone.
Sorry, it's Cathy Weldon, but when I went to school, they called me Cathy Ní Weldon, so somehow I stuck that on my book. I do write in Irish. Actually, I only write in Irish. And unfortunately, I didn't bring any translations. I came in a bit early. So I'll give you a quick outline of the poem I'm going to read. I think I'll read the title poem, which is, it's called Merida on Lape, and a poet, Paddy Bush, has actually translated it, but I don't have the translation with me. How he translates it, it means the banner of the hero, the hero's banner. He translates it as the hero's coat of arms. And the poem is about the daughter of a friend of mine who is, she'd be in her early 30s now, and she basically arrived into the kitchen table one morning that I was visiting about 10 o'clock, and her ear was hanging off and there was a lot of blood, and she couldn't explain what had happened, who had done it. She didn't know. She'd been attacked anonymously, and she sent it out on her mobile phone to the world, basically the images of all the damage done to her, and it wasn't only her ear that was damaged, but it turned out to have been her partner who had done it, but she wouldn't have anybody know that officially or unofficially. It was just found out. Merida an Laet. Kipi oni vo gajome. Tussed is a van van Gogh. Does cluish in a gubble clue the hay grow. A shilla audition noha. Read dar the cluish diet. Gur chat doch dúri clúas vrega a yaragut. Nír chiantí sé as a chair. Nír gairi sé. Chénish gur eb atna gut an té a yen e seo. Ach chiolish I bá na divála. Amach an sail múr majin. O don póca. Merga an leach. Creacht creacht. Nachtish an dochar duin. Nos dúshna a búish. Clushum áfa. Glór uignach o da chrí. Is tigan go gelantú. Achtra o da uiga. An shield na vein. Ni rawish a chanei, go dain an at fos, agus filan an falara, a rish agus a rish, I gultache de frula. So in the end, the latter part of it explains that actually I understand the loneliness behind her call out to the public, and that it's from an incident that happened in her youth that she's never dealt with. So, Gerd Market, thank you.
James Hart.
I'm Stephen. Pegasus. Parts merge to enchant. Then Zeus, he has gone in one lightning bolt, blowtorched sheet metal. Pre-dawn, I'll return to spot stars on its flanks, hippocrene shod, wings brushing through north. The Stalker. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. My evil eye betrays a clear intent. My spring is high enough to reach my prey. These lethal clamps are known as my cachet. My primal needs do not entail consent. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. At every chance I strike without delay, and when I do, they'll not require a stint. My spring is high enough to breach my prey. This broken thrush was doing a slow sachet. Unlike the other 99%, I walk the alley to and fro each day. I've yet to taste the hooded crow's dismay. He scans the lane before each rare descent. My spring's not high enough to leech that prey. Oh yes, I draw a blank some weeks, but hey, I never show a sign of discontent, but stalk the alley to and fro each day. My spring is high enough to bleach my prey. Cook's Northwest Passage. Cotton plateau, then peaks and slopes, puffed and fluffed on ephemeral plains, deserted. Icarus I view, ice caps, burnished, tawny, fractured and crusty. How long more can this last? The midnight blade hacks into a ledge to find purchase under the overhang. An avalanche of immense whiteness starts to crumble, then tumble in sweet silence, slipping down the sheer face, past stalactites, will-o'-the-wisps of froth, down frosted flows, to land across the mouth of the fjord, the wedge shape of attrition, eating into those honeycombed caverns, those canyons, pale as egg white, down into blue, glazed flats of Wedgwood, baked Alaska. Thank you.
Al Harry is Al Harry.
This is a poem from the 60s when I first started to try my hand at poetry. Bird Uncaged. It's inspired by listening to Billie Holiday and Charlie Bird Parker. Jazz, black but universal, a four-letter flurry from a New Orleans den. Music in a hurry to grab solace now and then. Hear that old sax wail, a scream from wretched folk. A strange fruit hangs on a twisted southern oak, and hate bears its fangs. Jazz, a language of protest, torn in bloody ragtime from the womb of dark despair. You can buy it for a dime, play it without a care. Voice of a stolen people, bittersweet, whispered soft, in a brass-lined throat, and frenzy thrown aloft to reach the perfect note. Thrumming joy or pain, love child of the blues, jazz plucks the strings of hearts lifted by booze while the fat lady sings. Jazz trumpets carnival, music that feels good as sin, catharsis for all the sorrow. Feel black under the skin, live today, not tomorrow. Thanks.
The next reader is Wagner Miranda. Hey, So yeah, my name is Wagner. I'm from Brazil, and so if the words don't make sense, it's just because it's my second language. Relentless and wise.
smiling faces in and out of rough places. In fact, they shout out loud, keep walking, never stop talking, waving and shaking hands in dismay. Relentless and wise is the time which it has its own way to wipe away the human stain. Whereas hope is adrift on boats and ships, he tries not to sink in the stream of his consciousness. Enduring beliefs of momentary happiness, spreading his seeds God knows where. These are freakish times. Sowing riots in the enemy's fields, fighting against reality with no guns and no shields. There will be the day when the remains of my shame stop running through your veins. Then you find your way in the gloomy shadow of future's arms. I'd like to read another one. You have to?
Okay.
Let's call it winter because it's still winter. And it's kind of about a dream, about something that will actually never happen, but anyway, it's a dream, right? Trees, slender bare bodies, all releasing. Trees, slender bare bodies, all resilience and braveness. Before the cruel and arbitrary change of seasons, I knew down fail for revealing the scars of my humanity. A feeling of loss, a sense of new beginning. Breathless, my love knocks on your door after leaping the giant chasm of whatever kept us apart. Yes, it's my love that gently approaches the realm of your silence. It knocks on your shut eyelids. Wake up. The whiteout is over. Some leaves have fallen. The lake has frozen. But the air is newborn and uninvited finds its way into your beautifully shaped nostrils. And I'm glad it's winter.
You could have gone first. You know, you would have been fine.
Yeah.
Next up is an old pro, veteran of this. So one day you'll be as good as reading as Mary O'Connell.
This is not mine. This is actually written by Adam Long, founder of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And it's called A Brief History of Richard III. Here's the greatest story you ever heard about a king called Richard III. An ugly hunchback with stature diminished, rudely stamped, deformed, and unfinished. Started out as a prince, he was almost unknown, not even in fact in line for the throne. A big-headed brother made poor Richard glummer, turning discontented winter into glorious summer. Little Richard was bitter, fuming and steaming. The poisonous hunchback was plotting and scheming. Seething and ready to pop his cork, he would steal the throne from the son of York. And so, in pursuit of satisfaction, put his murderous plan into action. Then he wooed Lady Anne, and her father he'd killed, not to mention the way he'd dispatched her old man. The crown was so near, he could reach out and pluck it, especially when Edward IV kicked the bucket. Soon after, poor Edward V was dead. That sneaky old Richard just lopped off his head. He beheaded Lord Rivers, Sir Thomas, Lord Grey. Before long, heads were flying every which way. He killed Lord Hastings. I forgot to mention when Hastings objected to his ascension. Then they made Richard king. He was feeling groovy. It was worse than a Quentin Tarantino movie. He was killing children, killing all day. Lord Buckingham fled, but got killed anyway. Richard fought all his foes, in the end with great force, ready to give up his kingdom for a horse. In the Battle of Bosworth, he was finally killed by Richmond, the rebel, who was totally thrilled. Thus, the king spent his winter of discontent, buried beneath 3 feet of cement. He lost his crown, his throne, and his jester, and ended up buried in a car park in Leicester.
A short holiday, and I'm thankful to have a night of poetry while I'm here, and I have one of my poems by heart, so this is the one you get. Slovenia is a country that I've spent a lot of time in, a lot of brief bits of time, and it's got a very, very long history, and one of the relics found there is believed to be the oldest known musical instrument. There's some debate about that, but it's a fragment of bone with holes carved in it as if it was a flute. And they have it in their national museum. And it's on the cover of a book of poetry by a poet I admire greatly, Maja Vidmar. And I wrote this poem in Bled, which is a city town up in the Alps around a lake that's just impossibly beautiful. After listening to a poet talk about the challenges of translating iambic English into dactylic Slovene, a two-beat into a three-beat, he's translated Shakespeare and Milton and Donne into Slovene. And I, as an American English-speaking poet, have always had trouble with iambic, and he freed me that night to write in a three-beat line. That and a big wind that blew across Bled resulted in this poem. It's called In the Country of the Bone Flute. It's a strong wind, a clear wind, a give back my breath wind. Blow my skirt up, ravish me standing. Moan on the mountainside, slam all the windows shut, strip bare the plane trees and frighten the swans. A wind in the face of which I'd tuck my beak under my wing if I had one. A thundering bass wind, tasting of glacier. I'm hollow, sing in me.
Carol McCartney.
Fools. Have you ever seen horses in the paddock before their races run, galloping, running free, like foals, like children? Bowing to every whim, fulfilling each of their desires from within. Have you seen what happens then, the progress of people? Led away by an unseen force, led astray to run a course. Wrapped in materials so tight that it itches. Blinkers on their eyes so they only see the ditches. Fastened with reins and steered through straight and narrow plains.
Cheers.
Shall we come to the end? Our
plans.
Hey.
Thank you. There's a poem. Diagnosis. It's 8 a.m. Sunday. I'm trying to sleep. The birds are singing from the tops of the trees in the Quaker graveyard. The heating system has kicked on. It's humming, and the tenant next door is toileting again. He flushes. I hear the tank in his attic split splattering and gurgling, replenishing. That's the second time in an hour. Either he was out last night or has a urinary tract infection. Leastways, he has a strong flow. The prostate's good.
And so that is that. Just one big thank you again to Carl and everybody else who read that. And next Monday again, and on and on and on and on.